What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm no good at taking good advice, and I'm self-careless, so don't tell me twice that lately I've been so stuck in my head that I forget just about everything my therapist said. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe we are all self-helpless.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Self-Helpless Podcast. I'm Delaney Fisher. And today I'm chatting with my cousin, who happens to be a professional softball player. Sam Fisher is here today. Fun fact, our dads are actually identical twins, so we like to call ourselves sister cousins since, you know, we basically have the same dad. Anyway, Sam was a member of Team USA from 2012 to 2015 and Team USA Women's Elite Team in 2016. She also led Team USA to gold medals at the 2015 World Cup of Softball and Japan Cup events, was a member of the gold medal winning team at the 2014 World Cup of Softball, and helped Team USA claim the silver medal at the ISF World Championship. Sam also played 2 seasons with the Akron Racers before signing with Scrapyard Fast Pitch in 2018. And she also played 2 years in the Japanese Professional League for the Toyota Medics. And in college, Sam was the first All-American selection in program history and was the first player in LMU softball history to earn all PCSC first team honors 4 times. And she was a 2-time PCSC Coastal Division Player of the Year for the Lions and closed her career as the Lions' all-time leader in home runs, RBIs, bases, batting average, slugging percentage, all the things, people. She broke literally all the records. And she was also inducted into the Loyola Marymount Sports Hall of Fame in 2019 and the West Coast Conference Hall of Honor in March 2023. And she also had her number 52 jersey retired. Listen, I got to be honest. I don't know what a lot of these stats mean, but it's very impressive. She's really good at softball, you guys. She's like really good. If you're wondering who the star is of the family, you guessed it. It's me. No, she's amazing. And I am so proud of her. It's so funny reading this bio of somebody I know so well, you know, a relative in my family. But I'm like, damn, she's done a lot of cool shit. I'm excited to have her here to chat about basically the ending of her career as a professional softball player and all the feelings that come with that, how she's transitioning to other things and what her career trajectory is looking like after this final season of hers. We covered a lot of bases here, pun intended. She mentioned how she kind of became more intentional in her training and started listening to her body more, how she came to the decision to end her softball career, You know, whether she wants to play softball for fun in the future. We talked a lot about how challenging this transition can be when being a professional athlete, or in Sam's case, you know, softball player, has been part of her identity for 30 years. And also the fact that, you know, when you're a professional athlete, you're kind of forced to end your career. Unlike a lot of other professions where, you know, you can retire in your 50s and 60s and keep doing your thing for a lot longer. So yeah, it was a very fascinating conversation. I think it's going to help a lot of people, whether you're a professional athlete or not. You're just amidst a big life transition, whether, you know, career or otherwise. So before we get into the discussion with Sam, we do have a quotable of the episode. This was submitted by one of our patrons over at Patreon. You can also join Patreon to submit quotes for the show at patreon.com/selfhelpless. This was submitted by Desiree, and it says, "Failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently." Great Henry Ford quote. I love this so much. What a perfect episode for this quote to be on too, because Sam really talks about how softball is just a game of failure. Like, she fails every day, and mentions, you know, even sometimes when her team wins, you know, she's made a lot of errors that she has to learn from and all of that. So I love this quote. It reminds me of the quote. I think it's something like, the path to failure and success is the same. I think that is a really powerful message. Just, you know, some people stop a little early and they chalk it up to, oh, that was a failure. And some people keep going and become a success. And I love kind of taking the power out of the word failure, because it really is just information. You're learning about something. So if we really, you know, kind of switched it up to where, you know, it's not a failure, it's a lesson that you can, you know, you can improve upon, I think it kind of takes the shitty feelings out of failure. So Desiree, thank you so much for submitting that quote. Love it. And again, you can do the same at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And just want to let you know, I also have an email list called the D List. It's a free list available on my website, DelaneyFisher.com. where I like to share about career opportunities, media opportunities. There's private podcast episodes that are only available over there about creativity and mindfulness and in work, in life. We talk about finding happiness and fulfillment when you're a multi-hyphenate. You have a lot of different interests and a lot of things, and maybe you have several businesses or ideas and you're trying to figure out how to organize them and implement and not be so overwhelmed by everything. So would love to have you over there. I recently just shared some opportunities with the Wall Street Journal that people are taking advantage of, an opportunity for a photographer coming up, an independent sales rep coming up. So I just like to share things as I learn about them in my own network, and also things that I might be looking for as well with my own projects and business and stuff like that. So again, you can find that at DelaneyFisher.com. Everything's completely free. Okay, without further ado, here is my conversation with Sam. Samantha freaking Fisher Cook. Samantha Fisher. You'll always be Samantha Fisher in my book, but we'll add Cook. You know, Kevin's a good guy, so we'll add on there for you. Freaking love you. So happy to have you here.
Thanks, cuz. Right back at you.
I know. It's so sad I didn't get to see you in real life for Christmas, but I get to see you for this, virtually. Yeah,
this counts. And we got to see each other on FaceTime on Christmas, so that counts too.
That's true. There's a lot of tech stuff going on in our life, and we're both not the most tech-savvy ladies at all.
No, we aren't.
I'm glad to see we both got our buns in as well.
Hey, it's a Fisher staple.
We got... exactly. It's our sister-cousin look. Okay, well... I am so excited about this episode, because you know what I find is that, especially with a lot of podcast discussions and interviews, is that they often have the discussion once somebody has kind of overcome an obstacle or figured a bunch of things out. And I'm really glad to have you on the podcast during this time where you're still in the process of figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we forget all the micro steps that we took in the moment to make us feel better during a big transition. And that's, you know, we lose that when we're only kind of looking from the perspective of it being like in the past is something we already worked through. So, yeah. Sam, could you just give us a snapshot of where you are right now in your career and where you are in your transition out of being a full-time professional softball player? Just a little question.
Love that. Presently, I'm in Arizona, like physically.
Fabulous.
But I, you know, I'm towards the end of my career, and you know, it's been a long run. I graduated college in 2012, so doing that math is how long I've been playing professionally.
11 years.
Yeah. Good God.
Holy shit.
I know. Can you believe that?
Wow. I didn't realize it'd been that long.
I know.
Wow. Look,
I still feel like we're on our, you know, 8 and under team together.
What was it? The See Me Stars?
See Me Stars.
I was also on a team called the Spice Girls, I believe.
That was us. We were on the Spice Girls.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So I feel like mentally I'm still there, but in reality I'm getting towards the end of the career, getting close to retiring from being a softball player.
Wow. And so what does that look like for you right now? Are you about to go out of town and play for a team somewhere? Are you on break? What's going on?
Right now I'm in my off season. Our summer, I play for a league called Athletes Unlimited, and our season is in the summer. So I get actually, once the new year starts is when I start really kicking it into my training, getting ready, because I leave in June. I'll go and we'll play at Wichita State. We get to play there for 3 weeks. And then July and August, I'll be in Chicago for my full season. So right now I'm just eating candy and getting ready to start getting back into it come January to prepare.
I like the pre-training candy eaten. I think that's really important to know.
My mom is a good stocking stuffer. Like, it's got all the good things.
I love it. So how long is kind of training season before playing season? And I know those are not the technical terms, but you catch my drift, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay. I think it's different for everybody. Like, you know, my season ended at the very end of August. So since then I did take a couple of weeks of doing absolutely nothing. And then I've just been back in the gym doing stuff, you know, for the body. And then the softball stuff will start come January. It'll be about 6 months of just training softball wise, going and hitting and getting as many reps in as I can leading up to when I leave, which I believe is June 2nd is when I'll report.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So are you doing anything for yourself to kind of symbolize that this is coming to an end, or is your team doing anything? Like, how do you kind of celebrate this? Is there like a softball graduation? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
You know, there's one thing that happens when you do retire is in your very last game, you know, if you're playing on the field in the very last inning, you'll get called out, like you'll be substituted and you'll get a chance to like walk off the field and, you know, give a wave and do all that. But I'm not doing anything different because I don't want this season I don't want a final season to feel any different. I want to go in and I don't want to put the pressure on. You know how people put a lot of pressure on, like, the last thing that I did here, the last words that there's always so much emphasis on the last. And I don't want to put any emphasis on a last. I just want to do what I do and perform the way I can perform. And, I mean, my tank is close to empty. I want to empty the tank and just play the way that I want to play without having anything hanging over my head. I think, like, once it gets to that point, you know, like, you're fine. I remember getting to this point in college, like my last college at bat, you can't help but be like, well, this is it, you know?
Right.
Freaking Chitty, my best friend, her last at bat before she retired, she hit a home run like in a thunderstorm. It was like a movie.
My God. Yeah. Thor?
Yeah, no, she's for sure Thor. And so I'm like, well, okay. So there's one way to wrap things up. But no, you know, once it gets down to that point, obviously, I think it'll be cool to have like a, you know, peace out. Some people leave their cleats on the field, you know, symbolizing like that. But yeah, leading into it and going into my season, into my games, I just want to go in like it's anything else.
Wow. What about anything after? Let's say it's months later. Yeah. Do you foresee wanting to do something for yourself, whether it's like, I don't know, frame some photos or go on a trip or have dinner with your family, like anything like that for like personally?
Yeah, we actually, so my husband and I, we, Kevin K-Dog, we have never really done anything.
Ever?
We've gotten a chance to like do some trips here and there in between my traveling for softball, but we haven't had a honeymoon. We haven't, you know, celebrated. He graduated college. Like there's a lot of things that we haven't had a chance to celebrate. So I think we've been really looking towards when I do retire, we want to go on a big like month long trip to, you know, celebrate everything that we haven't had a chance to celebrate yet.
Love that.
And just go and do some exploring, you know, because come springtime, there's times where it's like, oh, do you want to go do this? It's like, no, I can't miss 3 days of training. Like I can't not hit for 3 days or something. You know what I mean? So
right.
We've been kind of really looking forward to that. But as far as the other little things, you know, I feel like playing softball is exactly what I've wanted to do. So I feel like I've been able to keep myself in the present, you know, like I have framed pictures from season. I have jerseys that are framed. I have a quilt made of all, you know, my old shirts and jerseys and stuff. So, I feel like I've been surrounded by everything to where when I am done, I'll just get, I'll just like dig a little hole. I'll go into it and cry for, you know, like a few months and then come out of it. And maybe my skin's glowing. Like maybe, I don't know what people do with their time. I'm going to have all this stuff to figure out.
You'll crawl into one of your 12 bathtubs in your nice home.
Have
a 17-hour spa day. I love it.
Yeah,
I want to come over for that. Yeah.
No, you're invited. You're invited.
I love it.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I guess one of the pros, I guess, of it coming to an end is like, yeah, instead of traveling for work, you'll get to travel for fun with your husband and do all these things.
Yeah.
So, okay. So for other people who have found their dream jobs and other career paths, retirement typically happens in your 50s or 60s, not in your 30s, right? Yeah. And also with other professions, like people's skill set often increases over time. Like, I don't know, like an engineer will probably be performing at a higher level 20 years into their career versus in the first few years. But as a professional athlete, one, you're kind of forced to retire from your dream career decades before a majority of other people. And then on top of it, if you did stick it out for more decades, your body's performance decreases over time as you go, like as you age, something that you have no control over.
Yeah.
So this just seems really fucking unfair. And
It sucks, dude.
Like anybody who loves their role as an athlete. So how are you feeling about your career as a player coming to an end? What's going on for you internally?
You know, it sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it just is what it is. It sucks. There's actually a really good at the ESPYs. This is years ago. Abby Wambach, who was like a great soccer player, Olympic soccer player. She gave a speech with two male athletes. And ironically, I don't remember who they were. but she talked about how they were all retiring. And she said, I'm walking into a completely different retirement than these guys. Like, I got to start over. I can't, I'm not going to go and buy a second home and live there half the year. And, you know, I don't have the same contract as a man. So my retirement doesn't look like retirement. My retirement looks like this book is finished. I got to open a new one because if I want to pay the bills, I need another career. Like I got to start over. So that part's a little, that's where like we think about being, that's where I think of unfair more than like having to, you know, all the other things. Like I'm 33. I want to keep doing my dream job until I'm 100. But
yeah,
I think about how I'm getting older and not gaining any skills, any office skills. Someone just showed me Canva, but everybody seems to know what Canva is. I didn't know what it was. Because you don't need it when you're getting a ground ball and throwing it to first base.
Exactly. You've been hitting grand slams for 12 years. You're like, fuck yeah, Canva. I don't need that shit.
Yeah. So I'm like, I can do Google. I can think of quippy little sincerely signed Sam Fisher, you know, sign offs on an email. But
oh my God. Can we please put a resume together for you where it just says, I can do Google? Still figuring out Canva, period. Yeah. Sam Fisher Cook, please.
I'm going to send it in.
It's so good.
I think I'm going to get hired immediately by like anybody. But yeah.
Multiple offers coming your way. Yeah.
I'm going to be so rich. It's crazy. But that's the part that I really sit and think about more than anything is that I have lived my dream. I have loved every day of my life. I'm happy. I'm just so, you know, overjoyed every day that I get to put on a glove and swing a bat for my job. But then there's that thing creeps in. It's like, okay, well, you can wallow for a little bit that you're done, but like, we need to bring in, we need you to, your retirement. It does not look like millions and millions and millions of dollars. It looks like you can go give a couple of lessons and make $80 and, you know, so that part's tough, but the body stuff is actually really interesting. I've been really blessed. Like I haven't dealt with super major injuries, knock on wood, obviously, but I've learned a lot as I've gotten older too, and how to be intentional with my body and how to, you know, sometimes less swings is better than more swings, you know, and that's what I feel like has also helped aid my longevity in my career is that it's like I'm learning as I go and I feel like I'm adapting. And that's why I'm able to sit here in my 30s talking about my career and talking about having the choice to end it rather than some people, they don't have the choice because they either like aren't as competitive anymore or don't get a contract back or, you know, things like that. So I do feel like I'm at a good place.
Oh, wow. So many great points there. I would love to know what was the catalyst of you saying, okay, I'm ready to retire because you're still getting contracts and can still play. What happened?
You know, it's really weird. I said it out loud last year. So in 2022, I had said, should I retire next year being 2023? And it felt icky. It felt like so gross. I said, no, not the stuff. And then this year came and I'm like, maybe next year. And it felt like, oh my God, okay. That didn't feel so icky. Like, you know, kids are a conversation that I have with Kevin and, you know, I don't want it to happen too late if it's going to happen. But also I want to leave the game. First of all, I don't want to leave the game, but if I'm going to walk away from my playing days, I want it to be where it's at a point where I'm still the player that I am. I don't want to deteriorate I don't want people to say like, she's not what she used to be, you know? And it feels like that this coming up is going to be the point where it's like, yeah, like she's playing well and I can walk away and be happy. And I can also not want to come back. Like, I don't want to be I don't want to be Brett Favre or Tom Brady and retire and then come back. I want to cleanly, no offense to those guys. Like, obviously it's an incredibly difficult decision, but I want to cleanly say thank you. Thank you all for coming. And, we'll see ya. Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing the Seinfeld goodbye. Just quitting at the top of your game. See ya. Show's over.
I want to be Peyton Manning and win a Super Bowl and say, see you later.
Yeah. See you later. Bye. Catch me on my couch. Wow. It's such a good point when you mentioned Abby Wambach. Right?
Wambach.
Mm-hmm. Wambach. Is Abby married to Glennon Doyle? Is that the same?
Yes.
Abby? Okay. Incredible. Yep. What a great point that, professional baseball players retiring in a very different position than you're at where you're at. And the starting over versus the retirement is very different.
Yeah.
I would love to hear more about what you said when you said that you kind of learned to be more intentional with your body or your training and stuff to give yourself that sustainability or longevity with your performance. Can you speak more to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I started doing yoga. I started stretching. I've always been like the, okay, let's do this and just start going into it.
Right.
I'm like, why does my like sternum hurt? You know,
it's a Fisher thing, isn't it too? We're very impatient. All right.
Truly. I'm like, I don't
give me the ball. I'm going to crush it.
If like 30 seconds, let's just get this going. Okay.
All right.
I started doing a lot of that. Like, I am very, very persistent about icing my shoulder. I never used to ice my shoulder, but then I started to be like, well, you know, you kind of need it. So after every practice, after every game, like I have my own like strap that I bring and I ice it up and take good care of it there. So a lot of like preventative type things. And then with stretching and stuff, but really learning in my softball training, actually, because I've always been the person that's been like, no, like 100 more. Let's go more. And you get to a certain point where your reps start to be bad. You're doing them. It's like very much a quantity, quality type thing, right? You want to get quality reps over the amount. So I've learned that I'd rather have 50 really good swings than 100 swings that might create a bad habit, you know? So
what a quote, Sam Fisher. What a fucking quote.
Thank you. I wish I would have learned it sooner, because there's, there's been times where I'm like, God, I'm so tired. Oh, another one. I'm like, that was so bad. So learning how to listen to my body has never lied to me. You know, it's always telling me the truth, and I just have to be somebody who listens to it and not feeling. I used to deal with a lot of guilt if I took a day off, and learning how to be like, actually, no, you need that. You need it as much as you need to swing. You need a day off. You need to just take a nap. I would tell Kevin that, like, gosh, I took a nap today. I'm so lazy. He's like, you've worked so hard that you've earned the chance to take a nap in the middle of the day on a Tuesday.
Right. Right.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. I got to take more naps.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'll see you later.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a 4-hour nap a day thing now. Yeah. Did you mentioned kind of listening to your body and all that. Did you start doing things differently around kind of the self-care with your body or training because you started to feel differently? Were you getting more sore, or were you kind of like looking around like, okay, I'm not 23 anymore. I have to just take better care of myself so I can keep playing. What was the catalyst?
I think it was like the natural evolution of aging. You know, there was nothing that had happened that was, oh boy, if I don't change something, this isn't going to last. It was very much so that I started to acknowledge more. Yeah. You'd see these kids come out and they're 21 and they're doing these things. I'm like, you guys, I got to go to bed at 8:00. Like, right. I'll see you later. Right. I think it's helped that I've always kind of been an old lady in that manner too. But yeah, I do think it's the natural, you start to feel things. You start to wonder, oh, what did I do? Like, oh, when I bent down because I dropped my pen, that's where that tweak came from. You know, maybe we need to stretch a little bit more. Maybe we need to warm up the body. But yeah, I think it's been a very natural process, which makes me feel good because it hasn't been forced and it hasn't been, you got to do this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels so good to hear that a professional athlete can get a sore back from bending down to get a pen, because I just get out of my bed and I'm like, I'm hurt. I hurt. What has happened?
There's a scene in Just Go With It with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston, and he's laying on the couch and he spends 10 seconds trying to get up off the couch. Absolutely. I agree.
It's kind of nice to know, like, okay, even if I was doing tons of push-ups every day and all that, it'd still be happening a little bit. So So I know this hasn't happened yet, right? You haven't finished your kind of final season, but what do you think you will miss most about this job?
I've heard all of my friends who have retired talk about the things that they miss being, the off the field stuff. And I agree. I know that just the stuff that you get to do with your friends, like your teammates and that kind of stuff, is so top tier. There's there's really, really nothing like it in my experience. But I'm gonna miss hitting the crap out of a ball.
Yeah.
Like, totally. When you're facing a pitcher who's so good and you hit that ball on the barrel.
Damn, dude. It's gotta feel great.
It feels so good.
Yeah.
But I really feel like I'm gonna miss the lacing up my shoes, getting my glove, putting my stuff in the dugout, you know, coming in for a water break, going back out, talking strategy with your teammates at practice. You know, I love softball, and I know that I'm gonna miss the teammates and the camaraderie and the late ice cream nights and those things, but the ball field stuff, you know, because you can't replicate it. I can go over to my friend's house and we can talk about stuff and we can do things like that in relationship wise, but I'm never going to be able to replicate talking to my shortstop about what we're going to do if the ball comes this way when there's two outs and a speedy runner is on second base and there's a run, you know, we're down by a run. I'm never going to be able to replicate that. So I feel like I'm going to miss the stuff that softball really is, you know, at the core of the sport.
Absolutely. No, it totally makes sense. Is there a part of you that is going to miss, like, kind of, in a way, like being like a star and like being special, right? Like being special in that way. Like that's it's a really unique experience where like your games are on TV, you're hitting home runs on TV, you're singing the seventh inning stretch at the Cubs game, right? Like you're doing all these like really crazy cool things, right? Yeah. And then when you retire, yes, you still did all those things. Mm-hmm. It's still a very special thing, but the fact that you're not actively doing those same things in that same way. And I don't know, any feelings around that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's things that I think about that come to memory that I forgot I did that, or, you know, things that are just so cool that aren't your everyday person things. Right. It is weird to think about, you know, and I don't, part of me want, you know, I always want to be around softball. So when I'm done playing, I want to stay in it. I want to be around it because it's what I know best. But also it's like, people, that's how people know me too. People know me as a softball player. And I think there is a fear of, well, if I'm, do I go to get a sales job and then just be Sam Cook? who is that? Trick? I don't know who she is yet. You know, I know who Sam Fisher is. I know what she likes,
right?
What she's good at. But I've had a very, really sweet interactions with people because of things that I've done in my career or things that I've said because they came to a talk or something. And I'm going to miss that. I was at a Steak and Shake in Georgia and a girl recognized me. I was like, Sam Fisher? Like that? I mean, it's happened to me like 3 times in my life. Like I can't imagine being Aaron Judge, you know, but that is so cool and so special. That, I will miss that. I will miss being somebody who gets to sign an autograph after a game. That's awesome. That's so cool.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything that you've been doing to like manage like these feelings and stuff around this huge shift in your identity? Whether it's certain self-care that you're doing or things that you're planning for yourself or therapy or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it goes along the lines with that I'm not trying to treat this season any differently, that I'm, and this is also maybe me compartmentalizing where maybe I'm just putting it off. I'm probably putting it off.
Mm.
Realistically, I've been throwing a softball since before I can remember. And that's by the time I'm done, we'll have spanned about 3 decades that I've been doing this. So yeah, I think I'm putting off the feelings, which, well, it's a habit sometimes in my life.
Sure.
I got a fancy compartment for those.
It's bedazzled.
I know the combination. I can get into it whenever I want. But I think I know that it's going to be devastating. So once I open the door a little bit, it's going to be like, I think it's going to be a flood. So I'd rather not let any leakage out and just go and do my job, essentially. Go work my ass off. Go, you know, do what I have to do. Go perform on the field. And then when that last day comes, that last game, that last inning, you know, I will cry. And then I probably won't stop crying. So that's how I see it kind of going. Once it does get to that point. But yeah, for now I'm doing the same mental stuff, you know, like reading, I like to read books about like the mental game and your mindset and stuff and just train away, you know? So I'm putting it off.
Right. Yeah. Put it off. I mean, you can mark your calendar. Okay. From August 2024 to 2025, we'll be in deep depression. Bring snacks, right?
I'll put like my do not disturb on and be like, see ya. I'm out of here.
Yes. Oh gosh, yeah, that really has to be so tough. Like you said, 30 years, 3 decades of doing something, and it's part of you. It's who you are. It's like there's not this like separation between like this is your job and this is you. Like everything is so intertwined mm-hmm. with softball. So moving forward and kind of transitioning careers, what have you been considering for yourself? You mentioned that you want to be around softball. What kind of jobs are you thinking about or applying for? Do you have something yet? Are you where are you at in that process?
Yeah, I actually just went through this process. I applied for a job in marketing for Athletes Unlimited. And I went through the whole process. It was super cool. Interviewing was so weird because I knew everybody. And I thought, you know, it was a really good experience. I didn't get the job. Okay. But in a way where I feel like I trust in the universe that maybe this is my sign. Just focus on your season.
Right.
Focus on emptying the tank. And then when you're done, even Kevin, like, we'll be fine.
Right.
And you can start looking then. Like, I'm so glad I went for it. And then I'm so glad I didn't get it because I don't want, if I'm going to, I obviously, like I said, treating this season like any other season. But at the end of the day, if I look back and feel like I was distracted or pulled in another direction, where I couldn't focus all my energy and my time in my craft, my job, then I would hate to look back and think, well, what if? Like if I could have just gotten one more hit because maybe I had one more training session or something like that. Right. I don't want to look back and think that way. So I'm not gonna pursue anything until that time comes. And then as many jobs open in Athletes Unlimited, I'm applying, even if it's like janitor.
Yeah,
I'm applying for it, and I want so badly to work for AU and just maintain, you know, doing. I just want to keep doing the work that we're doing, and that is the dream. That's the goal. It's just it's just an amazing organization, and I want to be involved. I just want so badly to be involved so that when I come 20 years, 30 years, when it's like, oh, you're retiring again from a job.
Right.
I can look back and see, look at how far we've come. Look at all the work we've done. You know, I want to be a part of that growth and stuff. So that's, I think, the ultimate goal, whatever that looks like. I just want to do it.
I love that. I think that's a great position to be in where like, you know what you want to do after, but you don't have to do it yet. Like you can just focus on your season, but you're not like so not feeling so lost of like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm gonna do, I love the fact that you have this plan, like, all right, I'm just gonna apply to this company until I get a job there.
Like, I'm gonna just keep knocking on the door.
Hi there, Sam Fisher here. I'm sorry, Sam Fisher Cook here. You might know me as either Benitez for a long time,
but exactly.
Okay,
yes,
that's cool.
I think part of it too is I was wanting to maybe have a transition of where I might have gotten a job while I was playing, so that way when I was done, I had something. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, then I'm really going to compartmentalize my feelings. And if I don't have a chance to cry for 3 months,
right,
then I don't want to end up being the guy in the bar that talks about the football game from high school. You know what I mean? Like, I want to come to terms and be at peace and be content, which I do feel like I'm there. I'm going to be there, but like, I don't want to say like mourning the end, but giving it the attention and the emotions and the feelings that it deserves, because it has been my entire life. It's been my existence. It's been my personality. It's been, you know, my being. So that also kind of sunk in of like, you know what, you kind of need to cry and just like stare out the window for hours and just pretend you're in a sad music video.
Yeah. Read your Harry Potter books. Yeah. Reread all of them. Everywhere.
Dive right in. Yep. Like it's the first time. And you know, so just really like giving myself the chance to acknowledge it rather than be like, okay, what's next? What do I have to do now? You know?
Oh, that is so smart. It is that break for you is going to be so important, not only to, basically be with yourself and do whatever you got to do, all the processing, but also like that month trip that you're going to take with Kevin and like all the celebration around it too. It's important to process the feelings, but also to celebrate all this stuff that you probably, you know, celebrated tidbits along the way, but you were probably onto the next game or onto the next season or onto the next thing. You can actually have that time. So I think that's a really, really great idea. I'm glad you're doing
that. Thank you. Yeah, it feels right.
Yeah. What do you say has been the best part of being a professional athlete and what has been the hardest part about it?
Wow. The best part is playing. Like, yeah.
Game day, like being on the field type of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Hearing my walk-up song, seeing my jersey with my name and number on it. You know, the best part is like when I really do sit back and think about it, look at what you've accomplished. Look at where you're at. Look at what you're doing. That part is really, really neat. And it's just really gives me so much just satisfaction and joy and pride, truly. You know, people talk about like, what would you say to your 10-year-old self? And it's always like, you are going to be so proud. Like, you're at the life that you
That's
created.
Sweet.
I know. She's a little 10-year-old Sam.
I knew 10-year-old Sam Fisher.
You do.
I know her.
Yeah. Yes. We were probably playing basketball together at 10 years old, you know?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But the hardest part, I think, it has been sustaining it. Like, it is not, it's not easy. Like, if you do the math and you think, I have a 3-month season and then a 3-month off season and then 6 months of training, that math doesn't make sense, because you'd think, wouldn't you play longer than you train?
Right.
But for me, I've never been a player who can just show up. I have to do, those players, man, bless them. They can show up, they can do their job and do it well. And I have to put in the time, put in like the practice over and over and over to get to that point, to get to the point of showing up, you know? Yeah. And I think the inequity and inequality of like seeing when they announced Ohtani's $700 million 10-year deal for the Dodgers, I was in a bad mood for 2 days. The man is going to make $2 a second or a minute. Sorry, a minute.
Yeah.
$2 a minute. And that just, it was, those things are really hard, because I watch documentaries about athletes, mostly male, and hear, you know, the ESPN 30 for 30s on these athletes, and watch and learn. And I think I did that. And sometimes it's harder for us to do it, because I don't have a personal trainer. I don't have a nutritionist. I don't have somebody cooking my food for me. I don't have somebody cleaning my house for me and doing my shopping and everything, so I can just be a softball player. Like, I'm a softball player, a wife, a homekeeper, a dog mom. You know, I have all these things that I have to do on top of being a professional softball player. So that part gets pretty hard to see, like, man, wouldn't it be just so nice to just have like $1 million?
Right. You know? I'm just asking for a mil. Okay. I don't need the 700 mil. Just one is fine.
I will give you the deal of a lifetime if you're offering $700 million. Like, try $7 million for 10 years. Go ahead. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Like, so those parts are hard, but, you know, most of I would not choose to do anything. I would do this for free. Don't tell the people who write my contracts that. I would do this for free. I really would.
Oh, gosh. That really is. Like, that's just infuriating. I'm mad for you on your behalf.
Yeah,
when you put it all out that way, it's like, can't they spread that one contract to all of these other people who don't get paid very well for being a professional athlete? I mean, is there anything that is being done for women's sports and things like that to make it more lucrative for players? Like, do you want to be part of that change? Like, what's going on, you know, in that respect?
There's a lot that's happening right now in women's sports. I don't know if you saw this at all, but this year, Nebraska volleyball, they played in a football stadium. 92,000 people were there.
Wow.
Huge. Yeah.
I did not see that. That's awesome.
Huge. Yeah. Wow. Super exciting. There's like records being broken of viewership on ESPN constantly. So people are watching, people are going. I think that brands are starting to see the market value of using female athletes as, you know, their as marketing and can help sell their products, you know, and investing more in us. I think what's interesting is over time you've seen, oh, well, you know, college football wasn't getting as many views on ESPN too. Let's bump them up to ESPN, like the, you know, big ESPN and just help them do better. But if we're not getting the views on ESPN too, it's like, well, nobody's watching, but nobody ever gives us the chance to be like,
yeah,
put us on ESPN and people will watch. People prove to watch. So I think that we're in a shift. I think we're in a time where things are on the up and up, but it's just been proven that we have to keep working hard and we have to keep working harder, you know, and taking advantage of the opportunities that we do get. NIL is huge. A lot of the highest paid college athletes are girls. Our females. Ooh, I know.
Love that. That's fabulous.
It is fabulous. Yeah. I agree. It's
totes fab.
Yes. And so we're in a really good time. And that's why I want to stay in it. I want to stay in sport, in women's sports. Like I've always dreamt when I was younger, I've always dreamt of when I was done playing. Well, this is when I thought I'd be done playing when I graduated college. I want to work for, you know, an MLB team. I want to work for an NBA team. Like I want to work for pro sports. And it has evolved into, I want to work for pro sports, but it's the women that are playing. You know, I want to be involved in pro sports for women. And I think we're in a good time. I think that we're at a point where things are going to continue getting better. It's going to be a slow burn, but like presently I'm my salary is better than it's ever been right now. Awesome. So that's a big deal. You know, that's where we're taken care of. We have gap health insurance during season. Like that doesn't happen.
Look at that. Yes. Yeah. Who needs $700 million when you got that insurance, baby?
Yeah. I got hit in the hand in a game and I didn't have to pay for the x-ray. It's so sad, but that is such a big deal.
It's a huge deal. No, I mean, I'm so glad that, you're sharing all this because this is stuff I wouldn't know.
Totally.
I mean, hey, I'm not on social media anymore, as you know. I'm not a big TV movie person, YouTube. I don't really watch a lot of things, but I'm so glad to hear that there are strides being made.
Yeah, totally.
In women's sports and people are tuning in and you're getting paid more. Like that's just the freaking best news.
Yeah.
So let's say that everything went right after you're done with your final season, right? What is the next dream job for you? I know that you want to work for Athletes Unlimited and stuff like that, but what would you be doing? What kind of roles would you have? And any other things that like you would love to do in your future regarding softball?
Yeah, I actually do have a specific goal. For Athletes Unlimited, we have four sports and each one of our sports has a director of sport. And our director of softball is Sherry Kemp. She's my girl. I like to call her Share Bear. She's just like such a rock star. She's been in softball forever. I love her so much. And I've told her this, that when she wants to be done or when she wants to step away from the director role, I want it. I want to learn. I told her this, you know, we've talked about, I want to learn what she does. I want to see what goes into it because I would love to be the next one because how better to be involved than with my sport being, you know, in the professional space and just having played in the league and being able to just, you know, be a part of pushing it forward. I think it'd be so cool. And Sherry's done, I mean, she's done such an amazing job in that role to where it makes me want to do it because she's so great. And because we've done so much in just our four seasons here that I want to do that. I kind of just want to be her right. I want to kind of be her right hand man. I don't. Maybe not even the director. Maybe just the director's friend.
This is Sam. She just hangs out with me.
She follows me around. We don't even pay her. She's just here.
She gets lunch included. Yeah. That's about it. That's awesome. I love that. I really think it's awesome that you have this vision for yourself because just even a few years ago, I felt like you didn't when we would talk about it, like
not at all.
When this ends, like how do you feel about that? Do you have any idea? And for a long time you're like, I have no fucking clue. And
not one.
I'm really terrified about it. And I don't know. I don't have these other jobs, right? Like you said. So it makes sense that this is transitioning at this time, because you do have this very clear path now that you didn't mm-hmm. have before. So I would imagine, I'm curious to know, if you didn't have this kind of clear trajectory of what you want to do after, would you be retiring this year?
That's a great question. I think there's parts of it that are yes, and there's parts of it that are no. I think that it's comforting to know that my passion is leading me in a direction like this, where this is where I know I'm lucky. Like, I don't want to do something that I don't love. Obviously, that's not how life works. You got to pay taxes, you know?
Right.
So me getting to be in a position where I say, I want to do what I love. I want to let my passion lead me into that next move. And that part feels very good, to know that this passion I have for playing is bleeding into something else.
Yeah.
But I also think the other aspects of my life that are kind of knocking on the door would still be there whether I had this or not.
Right.
So So I think that maybe it would have been a different way of getting to the decision, but I do feel like maybe it would have still happened. But I don't know. I feel so sure of it, I think, because of that factor. Like you said, there is a clear goal and path and idea. But yeah, that's tough, because, man, I mean, this is a job still. I would still have an income. I would still have something to do if I didn't know something else. Like, just play another season, you know? But with everything lining up, and I've always been a person who, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not going to do it. So I can feel it. I can feel it in my gut, and it feels like this is it, whether there was something after or not.
That makes so much sense. Yeah, like you mentioned, you know, potentially having kids and, you know, just wanting to spend more time with your husband and all that kind of stuff. Like, that totally makes sense. So let me ask you this. This is just a lot of thought exercises that we're doing.
Oh, let's go.
So let's say you're like, fuck it, I'm staying in the game for a bit longer. How many more seasons do you think you have in you before you're like, oh, Sam Fisher, not what she used to be out there, getting a little older? Realistically, how do you think, you know, when do you think that kind of plateau or decrease would happen?
I would imagine somewhere around 35. Like, we're going to be 34 next year. Like, I still feel like I got it. You know, I know, knock on wood, geez, I'm not trying to jinx myself here. But I still feel like I know what I'm doing. I know how to prepare. I know what's made my first two seasons in Athletes Unlimited. If you don't know, but it's, you got 0 to 60 on a leaderboard, 1 to 60 on a leaderboard. I finished in the lower half, like the first two seasons, and it wasn't great. Mm. And the last 2 years I finished top 10 and top 15. So,
oh, wow.
So I think I've started to figure out some things. I've started to maybe overcome some challenges and really learned what it takes to maybe be a little bit more successful in the league. So I think I could get a few more seasons out of it, but I just know that I would hate to go, like, if I went to play next year or the year after, I know I would hate to go into it and be like, oh man, she doesn't have it. And then ride the pine. My last season, be like, oh, there's our old lady in the dugout. She's done, actually. She's retiring. You guys want to wave?
Should have left 2 years ago, that Sam Fisher cook. No, that. Yeah, no, that makes, I mean, that's kind of great to know. Like, okay, it would have been maybe a couple more years if that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're like, I know I have 5 to 10 years left in me and I'm going early. I think that hopefully makes it a little bit easier to wrap your head around too. That's like,
totally.
I was basically there you know, how I felt. You mentioned that, you know, if you could, you would play softball till you were 100 and like maybe have this job forever. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you think you're going to play softball in some capacity when you're done, just for fun? Or do you feel like you need a clean break from playing?
I when I think about like the idea of having kids, that's where I can see myself on a ball field. You know, if I can help at practice, or if I can teach my kid how to play softball or baseball, that is something that, it's obviously imaginary right now, but makes me almost like emotional to think about that, you know, like, that's where I can see it. I am afraid sometimes of how competitive I am. So I don't know that like slow pitch is the route to go, or like, you know, because I'd be like, kill well, somebody. I got a train. I can't just show up.
That's too much.
So I think I'll be getting a clean break. I mean, I will still be at the ball field. I'll be watching the softball. But I think a clean break makes sense until it's time to teach the, if there is a little cook running around. If it doesn't want to play softball or baseball, though, I'm giving it to you. Like, just kidding. Sorry.
No, and I think the fact that you're calling it an it, you know, there's still some things left for you to figure out before you have kids.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We're not ready yet.
All I know is I want it to hold a mitt and play softball. Is that so much to ask?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine you on, like, a Parks and Rec softball team for fun. Like, there'd be many deaths by Sam Fisher's bat that it's probably best that you take a little bit of a break.
I think I'm serving the community and keeping myself off of that field, because they're going to be like, oh, here comes this girl who can't stand to lose, even though it's a Wednesday night and we're all 50. Right.
You're keeping the death rate at bay for everybody. We really appreciate that very much.
We're here for the people.
What about your workout regimen? Because you've been doing this training and stuff for so long.
Yeah.
Is that going to be part of like your everyday exercise? Or are you going to give yourself a little bit of break there? What's happening there?
I have the same question.
Oh, so TBD maybe.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of stuff that I do that it relates to the explosiveness that you need to play softball. Like the ball needs to explode off your bat. Like you need to be quick in getting rid of the ball and throwing it to first base. You know, there's a lot of things that come with explosiveness. I don't know what I'm going to need to explode at when I'm not playing softball. So... I do love weightlifting. I love CrossFit. I love those things. So I imagine in some capacity, they'll be a part of my life, but I've also really, I have the Peloton bike and the treadmill.
Nice.
And I really like those a lot.
Fabulous.
So I can imagine just being like a Peloton lady, you know, where I just like, oh yeah, I'm going to go spin, you know, like.
Can we please add that to your resume? Peloton lady as well.
I can Google and I know how to pick a mean class in the Peloton. So yeah, I think that would be that's going to be an experiment, you know, because I love being strong. I love, you know, like I can't wear certain shirts because my traps are a little bit too big.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I would want to get rid of that, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine that it's just a part of you, just like being very physically fit and strength training and all that would just continue to be part of your life, but maybe just in a different way than it has been.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for anybody who either wants to be a professional athlete or maybe they are a professional athlete? Anything that's kind of helped you ride the waves and transitions of like even the fact that you said that your game got better as you got older in some respect, which I would never think as somebody on the outside that is a possibility because I just, you know, anything that helps you ride the mental and physical waves of being an athlete.
I think something for me that has helped through everything, like when I was trying to pursue a goal or when I accomplished a goal or what, when you want something and then you get it and sometimes things change, it's like that has, I have never ever said, oh, I wish I wasn't here, you know? And I think that at the core of what I do is a love for the game and a love for competing and a love for the challenge. Like softball is a game of failure. It is brutal. I fail all the time. There's days where we win and I failed the whole game but we won. So it's like, great. It was a good day, but I'm sitting here. I'm like, Sam, you idiot, you know? No. So I guess just like understanding what's at the core, like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing it? What does it bring you? What at the end of the day, when you look in the mirror, do you have any, is there anything that you're questioning? Is there anything that, you know, like at the end of the day, after a game, after a practice, after anything, I look in the mirror, I'm like, all right, dog, see you tomorrow, you know, instead of maybe like, what am I doing? Or, you know, why am I here? Or those things. I feel very secure in my path. And I think that that's something that maybe people will lose is like, why am I doing this? So if you can answer that question, it can either help guide you through it and can keep you going, or it can lead you to something else that you're like, actually, maybe this isn't it.
Yes.
And I will say, like, for those who maybe want to be a professional athlete versus those who already are, is it comes with a lot of sacrifice. It comes with a lot of sacrifice. I've missed everything. I've missed from when we're kids to like sleepovers and you're in like high school parties, which I didn't want to go to, right. Nor was I maybe invited anyway. But you know, like things like that. And then getting older, like I've missed so many weddings and babies being born. I still haven't met one of my good friends' baby, and he's 2. Like, yeah. There's a lot that happens that you give up because you're in pursuit of this thing. And as much as I wish I could be at these things or see these things or be a part of more in my off the field life, I would 100,000% continue to choose softball. Mm-hmm. And because to be honest, it feels like it's my purpose. It feels like it's my calling in life. So that feels really deep and feels like, okay, sacrifice is hard, but it's easy if what you're sacrificing for is what you're meant to do. So, you know, looking sacrifice in the face and saying, do I want to get a good night's sleep so that I can perform tomorrow? Or would I rather go to the party and I'm okay with not performing tomorrow? It's all about coming to terms with those decisions, because what I do is right for me. That doesn't mean that it's what makes sense for somebody else. I remember having hitting lessons, like teaching. I was, you know, the hitting instructor, and girls being afraid to tell me that they didn't love softball like I did. And I'm like, dog, you don't have to. I hope you love something the way I love softball. Like, it doesn't have to be this way.
Right.
You just have to be happy with your level of what you're doing with it, of what you're doing with anything, you know?
Right.
So that was an all around answer, I think. But...
Oh, I loved it. It's such a good reminder. Like, if you are not doing something because you love it, if you're not doing it for the right reasons where it's like, it's fulfilling for you, mm-hmm. you're probably fucking miserable. Number one. And it's not sustainable probably. Right?
Yeah.
Like if you're just, could you imagine if you were doing this whole time just for the accolades or, you know, the end of the season championship trophy, right? It's like that daily work that you have to put in probably wouldn't feel worth it because you're not actually enjoying it. It's not really fulfilling you personally. So I think that's such a good reminder. Such great advice for anybody considering their career path or a transition of any kind, no matter what profession, you know, you might be in. Is there anything else that you feel like is really important to share with people today, whether they're, you know, kind of amidst a tough transition or kind of a loss of or restructuring of identity? Anything else on your mind or any like tools, favorite books, anything that you want to like, you know, share with people?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Speaking of favorite books, I don't know if you can see what I got going on back here.
So many books. Sam Fisher Cook's library.
There's like so much more to his problem. I think really getting to know yourself. I know that maybe sound like maybe a little cliche, but we're in a time where we don't need to get to know ourselves because there's so much exterior stuff going on. There's so much on social media and on the internet, and there's just so many things that can pull you away from who you are and who you want to be. I remember when Kevin and I were planning our wedding the first time, we were planning this wedding. It was going to be in Malibu in the hills, and it was going to be just so glamorous and beautiful, and it was going to be so expensive. And I thought, well, this is what it's supposed to be because this is what it looks like on the internet. And then the venue burnt down.
Oh my God. Wait a minute. I think I remember this.
Yeah. This is like that long ago. It's so long ago.
Yeah.
The venue burnt down and we got back all of our money. And instead of being like sad, I was so relieved because it was something that I thought I wanted, because that's what it meant to like have a wedding and like be a bride and stuff. I had never really pictured myself as a bride my whole life. I pictured myself as a softball player. So when it burnt down and we got our money back, we were able to plan the wedding that we actually really wanted. And it was like at a barn in our hometown and there were donuts. Like, you were there. You gave a speech.
I was there. I loved it. It was so great. It was so really, you guys too. It was very you.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah. So realizing those things along the way and really taking a look of what do I want? Sometimes it's what everybody else wants, but right. sometimes it's not. And so I think being in a transitionary phase is hard because especially when something's defined you, it's like, but who am I? What do I like? You know, and yeah. maybe doing some of that work. And I actually, I'm reading a really good book right now. Ooh. It's called You Don't Owe Anyone. It's like, like, ooh. Oh my God.
I got to write this down.
I'll send you a picture of it.
Yes, please do.
But it's basically about like getting rid of other people's expectations.
Yeah.
And like not worrying or not caring or not placing any importance on other people's expectations because, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is what your own standards and stuff. And I'm in a place where people have expectations on me all the time in softball, in my performance, in what I do, you know. And if I cared that somebody was mad at me that I was 1 for 3, but I was pumped because I had a great game and I was 1 for 3, it's like, what actually matters more?
Right.
So really, really, really getting to know yourself on that level of what do you love? What do you want? What makes you happy? And, you know, going from there. And I think that helps a lot.
Beautiful. Yeah. And fuck everybody Thanks. Else.
No, for real.
I love it.
I saw a comic strip and it was Dennis, you know, Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
And it was him and Santa Claus. And he asked Santa Claus, do you believe in yourself? And that,
I love that.
That has stuck with me for so long. Cause it's like, if Santa didn't believe in himself, he would cease to exist.
Right.
And like, who cares if everybody else believes in him? Does he believe in him?
Right. What would we do? Oh my gosh. The world would end. Yeah. No presents.
No Santa?
Ever. No.
I'd have to eat the cookies.
Oh gosh. This was so, Sam, cuz, this was so good. I really enjoyed it. I love you too, cuz. This was a great time. Where can people find you? Your work, your social media, all that good stuff.
I am everywhere at Sam Fisher 52. Really simple stuff. My name and my jersey.
Beautiful.
And then when we play in the summer, we'll be on ESPN. So
that's
like pretty gangster to say. Like, you can catch me in the summer on ESPN, you know, tune in. I'll be the one with the braid. I know that seems silly when I got the bun in, but this doesn't fit under a helmet. So.
Yeah, totally. You've had to adjust your hairstyles through the years. I love it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. I'll be seeing you very soon.
No, you for sure will. Yeah, absolutely.
And have a great freaking day.
Thanks, cuz.
I just had a blast chatting with my cousin today. I hope, you know, whether you find yourself amidst a career transition or personal transition of some kind, that you can consider some of the things that Sam shared today that have really helped her, and implement some of these things. And maybe it can make this transition for you a little bit smoother as, you know, you navigate maybe a shift in your identity, or maybe you're moving somewhere, a new job. But yeah, I just had a great time and hope you got a lot out of today's episode. I do want to share a little hot tip of the episode. This is something that, I don't know. I guess every time I bring it up, people are surprised that they exist. So I wanted to share it with all of you, but I don't know, a year or two ago, I started using spray vitamins instead of swallowing my vitamins. This is not like a sponsor plug or anything. I just, I don't know if it's getting older or what, but I hate swallowing pills now. I don't like swallowing vitamins or supplements or any of that. So anytime that I can opt in for a powder or a spray of some kind, just relieves so much anxiety for me. And so anyway, check out spray vitamins. They might be your new thing. I know that for me, it's like, there's a lot of brands out there. The one that I use, it's really, they taste good. It takes a second. There's no risk of embarrassing death by a giant pill that gets stuck in your throat. So if you're like me, you want to just try to minimize the amount of choke hazards throughout your day, I would definitely recommend checking spray vitamins out. They are just the best. And anytime I show a friend, because I bring them places with me if I'm spending the night somewhere and stuff like that. And so anytime somebody sees them, they're shocked that they exist. They've never heard of it. And so I felt like it would be good to just give you a heads up that these are a thing, and highly recommend. And I think they've even done studies now where spray vitamins are more effective or something than swallowing a pill because they get into your bloodstream faster. There's, I don't know, a higher percentage of absorption, all that stuff. Anyway, I just do it because I'm too scared to swallow pills. But yeah, enjoy that tip. Take it for what you will. And I do want to leave you with an iTunes review of the episode. This is from 971 Lucy. And it says, "You are amazing. I enjoy your podcast so much. You are so relatable and open. Thank you for being you." Lucy, thank you so much for this lovely review. I really appreciate you taking the time to write one. If you want to write one, it will get read on the show. We've been doing the podcast for so many years now that we are pretty much all caught up with reading the reviews. So if you leave one now, we record like 4 to 8 weeks in advance. So you might not hear your review for like 1 or 2 months if you are tuning in kind of in real time. So yeah, would love to be able to give you a personal shout out like this. And yeah, just really means so much. So Lucy, thank you for doing that. And I'm glad that the relatability is there. You appreciate the openness. Sometimes there's oversharing and we never really know, like, was that too much? Was that beyond helpful or was that okay? So thank you for mentioning that specifically. All right, everybody. I hope you have a great rest of the day and I'll chat with you next week. Bye.
Maybe I'm self.
Thank you for tuning in to the Self Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com.
We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, left an iTunes review, or feel free to post it on your Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast. Thanks, guys.